world is a treacherous landscape filled with the deadliest terrain from Dakar to Baja. Guiding your way are off-road stars Jimmy and Trent Beaver. This is the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Powered by Speed Energy.
How's everybody doing out there? We had a great, great weekend of racing. I don't know if any of you were tuned in on the internet to the Torque races, but an absolutely awesome, awesome race we had, especially in Pro 2 with Rob Mack heading for victory number 200. We'll get into that in a little bit. I mean, we just have so much stuff happening right now. Vegas to Reno is starting up this Wednesday with qualifying. Rob Mack has, you know, got his quest for 200 wins, which is still in effect. We had a big score announcement on pretty much the future of their series. We've got some global rallycross news that's interesting, and I've got big news in that I'm actually going to be going to a global rallycross event here in another month or so. I got invited to hang out in the pits with the Monster World Rally Team for Global Rallycross in Vegas, which that should be fun. And we've also got two big interviews today. We've got Brandon Arthur, a young gun, 16 years old, and he's going to be heading into a trophy truck later at the start of next season. And we've got Alan Pfluger, who should be waiting on the line. The Flying Hawaiian, he's kind of been absent from the desert, but let's see if we've got Alan here ready to do an interview. All right, we're live here with Alan Pfluger. How's everything going, Alan?
Aloha, good morning. Everything's good here in Hawaii.
Well, first off, we see your name on the entry list for Vegas to Reno, and that's kind of why we have you on air. Are we gonna see the hula girl dancing across the desert quite a bit more now?
We should see a green hula girl wiggling her hips across the desert, hopefully running up front in Vegas to Reno. We're pretty excited.
Awesome. So you're racing the new truck, right? You still have both trucks. You're running the new truck, though, right?
We've got both trucks. We've actually been doing development on both trucks. Took the original Porter truck, and the guys up at Collins put 39s on that. They did a great job. Took a little bit longer than expected and kept us out of a couple of races, but excited about the development on that. And been working with John Markin and you know, the great guys at Fox over there, putting some new shocks on the new truck. And I think we're there. So fingers crossed.
Awesome. Now tell us a little bit about this new truck. I mean, you know, I think anybody that's been in off-road for the past couple of years have heard rumors of this truck, and you know, and what's so different about it than your previous truck and some of the stuff that's out there right now, because you were really successful with the previous truck you had.
You know, the whole plan of that was to raise the bar, and you know, in testing both trucks back to back, my original Porter truck is a great truck, very fast. Can definitely get the job done. But this truck was just easier to drive, you know, and just faster, you know, in every single element. And that was really what we're looking for is to build a faster truck, have it easier to drive, and basically go out and win races. And you know, it's an independent truck. I think Race Desert had a little bit of discussion on it. I don't know if it's still one of the longest threads out there, but anyway, it's just been very difficult being a new project. It's not a cookie cutter like a Geyser truck, who's, you know, those guys are building great trucks, but the game is that if Herbert is in that truck and I come out with a better one, I'll be a little bit easier to beat you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you say independent suspension, is a four wheel drive as well, or are we still on a two wheel drive platform?
No, it's two-wheel drive. I mean, it accelerates like you cannot believe. And we're pulling, I think, you know, close to 2 G's on the data acquisition and acceleration on that truck. So, you know, that's some pretty serious numbers. And, you know, it's just been a big process, you know, getting that truck ready, because there's a lot of unknowns. You know, when you've got, you know, again, a Geyser truck, I mean, guys know, you know, you put these Fox shocks on, you dial it for this, and you've got, you know, these tires, and, you know, everything works. It's really easy. Where we're in unknown areas, and we're out there, you know, with John Markin and Fox and Tommy Morris, you know, doing shock development. I'm talking to Tommy. I go, Tommy, you know what's happening out here? He goes, you know, well, actually, this is really exciting for me, is what he's saying. It's because he gets to try new things in areas he's never been before because it's such a different truck.
Yeah, well, and that's exciting, you know, just to see something different because, you know, as you and I talked the other day, and, you know, these trucks, you know, Geyser and Jimco, they're building phenomenal trucks, but like you said, it's almost, you know, become, you know, I don't want to say it's easy to get a finish because it's never easy to get a finish in off-road, but, you know, the chances are if you get one of those, you know, and you don't make a mistake, you're going to finish the race because all the R&D is done. But I think it's exciting just to see something new out in the desert that changes things up and hopefully can change the game.
Well, that's the plan. But, you know, first off, as we discussed, you've got to finish a race. And what, you know, Geysers has really brought to the table, that's a big boys pro truck. I mean, they're bulletproof, they're tested. You know, you've got a lot of guys out there R&Ding all the parts. So when a part fails, you know, they can check it with other vehicles. And say, oh, that wasn't just a one-off failure. So, you know, we got to improve that part. And they've done that. Where we've only got one truck, you know, developing at this time. And so it's just been a little bit longer process. I know this truck is faster. And it's just getting all the bugs out of it, you know, from development. We started off with a different shock company that we thought would be great. And, you know, there was some pretty good progress there, but it just got to be such a big project to get their shock to, you know, live up to the abuse that we put on them in off-road and survive that, you know, we basically went to Fox and said, hey, help us. And Fox is great. John Markin really, you know, worked with us and got us some shocks. And, you know, we've got a proven product. Everyone knows Fox shocks have worked really well. And, you know, now we don't have to go develop a shock. You know, we've got other components on the vehicle that we have to develop from CVs and boots and whatnot there. And, you know, Dave Tungan has just been a great guy to have on the program and, you know, sorting out those other issues that we've had with the vehicle that we feel we've got pretty sorted out now.
Awesome. Now, I mean, obviously, you know, we saw you're entered at the 500. And I know things weren't quite ready. So now we're at Vegas Torino. What are the plans for the rest of this season? And then possibly 2013, we're going to see you back in the desert full time, maybe running the Score Series and some Best in the Desert or vice versa. What are we looking at?
Well, to answer the beginning part of that is, you know, we'd hope to be in been racing at the 500, but we couldn't get either truck done in time, unfortunately. And you know, we just felt it was best not to just, you know, run something that wasn't ready. And so, you know, we're here for Vegas Torino. This is actually, you know, a big shakedown race for the new truck. We call that new truck Dirty Harry. And you know, we've done a bunch of testing, worked great in testing. Now we gotta go run it under race conditions. And we'll reevaluate after that. I've also got, you know, the Porter truck ready to go. So, you know, the plan after that is taking a good look at the 500 or the 1,000 based on our equipment. I don't think you'll see me racing a series next year. I want to win the big races. I want to win, you know, the 500, the 1,000, Vegas Torino. I want to win the races that, you know, I want to win the races that mean something. Then, you know, they put your name in the record book, and that's, you know, I've done the other races. They're fun. You get to go out there and, you know, blast around on a trophy truck in the desert, and it's great. But at the end of the day, no one remembers your name when you win those races. And I want to win the big boys.
Awesome. So, you know, I know in the past, you had your full-blown desert program, and you also had a full short course program. Are we gonna see you maybe in the next year or two, you know, step back into some short course and you know, maybe in Lucas Oil or Torque?
You know what? Short course is great. The trucks are fun. But again, for me, it's, you know, to me, I love the challenge of going and racing for hours and hours and hours and on end. And, you know, you've got to maintain your vehicle and you've got to, you know, navigate things and not make mistakes. And, you know, you get into the nighttime and the 1,000 and, you know, your body's hurting and you know that you're hurting, the competition's hurting, you keep pushing. That's my real passion. That's what I want to do. Short course was a fun, you know, program for a while, but I don't think you'll see me doing that again. You know, I've got a family over here in Hawaii, and every time I'm gone, you know, that's time away from them. If I'm going to be gone from them, I want to do some real racing, and that's in the desert.
Awesome. Now, speaking of Hawaii, I mean, you know, everybody knows you obviously from the off-road thing, but I mean, you know, over there you do a lot of like Ironman and, you know, a lot of paddleboarding and stuff like that. You keep pretty active over there too, don't you?
I'm not an Ironman guy. I've done some half Ironman events, but yeah, you know, Hawaii's a great ocean lifestyle. I actually just had an unbelievable experience. I was training for a 32-mile paddleboard race. It's the Molokai Te Wahu Paddleboard World Championships, where you race on the island of Molokai to the island I live on, is Oahu. And, so I'm all geared up to go racing. You know, we're training for this thing. And my son, who's 13, had been training with us. And so he hits me up one day and says, "Hey, Dad, you know, what do you think about me doing the race?" And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, there's no way. You're 13. It's a crazy channel. It's huge. And so I didn't want to let him down. So we have a coach that trains our group. And I said, "Hey, let's go talk to Coach Mike." Thinking Coach Mike would say, "Oh, you know, wait a few years, Hunter, well, you know, you can race again." But long story short, Coach Mike said, "You guys can do it." And we put together a team of 13-year-olds that went out there and literally kicked some butt. I backed out of racing so I could escort them in a boat. But we had the youngest group ever cross the Molokai Channel. And it was, you know, 30-mile-per-hour winds and 8-foot seas. It was amazing what these kids did. And they raced against adults in a 3-man open division and took second.
Wow, that's insane.
Unbelievable. So.
And that's a long race, too. I mean, that's a long time on a paddleboard. I mean, take it for somebody who's done quite a bit of paddleboarding, that's a long race.
They finished in 6 hours and 22 minutes.
Wow, that's insane.
It was great. So, but, you know, the whole point to that is, you know, as kids nowadays are doing so many things, and you know what? Don't put the boundaries on them. Let them try. You never know. You know, they could surprise you and they're amazing. You know, now they believe in it, and now they want to go back next year and win in it.
Well, and it, you know, and it, that relates to off-road too. And I've had this conversation with a few people on air, and you know, when I was coming up through off-road, there really wasn't a feeder system or anything. It was pretty much just be thrown to the wolves. But now, you know, you've got the trophy cart program, and then it steps up, and some of these kids in short course are just dominating at 14, 15 years old, and it's just amazing the feeder system that's developed just in the past couple of years in off-road racing.
You know, that's true, and it's just getting kids exposure and getting them comfortable so they believe in themselves. And, you know, kids are amazing. They will excel. You know, you give them the confidence, and you give them some good goals and some good coaching, some good equipment. It's amazing what they can do nowadays.
So speaking of that, you've got a 13-year-old son. Any chance he's shown any interest to get involved in the family desert racing program?
You know what? I can't wait for him to get into desert racing. Right now, he's got the paddleboard bug so bad. You know, we're looking to go in December down to Australia and compete down there. So he's pretty hardcore training. He's a, you know, he's a very competitive swimmer, and he's a pretty solid ocean guy right now. But I would love to see that guy race in Baja, and I'd love to be his teammate and win the 1,000 one day.
That sounds awesome. Well, anything else you got on the horizon you want to share with us before we let you go?
You know, just really excited to get back on the desert. Great people out there, and, you know, love the community. You know, get that truck out there, get some good pictures on Race Desert, and you know, love your show. And, you know, can't thank all the guys at Fluger Racing for helping out, and, you know, the people that have been with us, and, you know, Big Mark and Scotty and Richard and those guys, and Missy organizing everything. Just awesome people, and, you know, really appreciate all their help. And Tommy Morris has just been a godsend getting the shock dialed in on our truck. So pretty awesome. You know, this truck is a pretty special truck, and see what we can do on race day. It'll be fun.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing you back out there, and looking forward to seeing you in a couple of days at Vegas Reno.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll keep the rubber side down.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alan.
Hello.
All right, I thank Alan Pfluger for coming on air. You know, it's been a while since he's been out in the desert. You know, a couple years ago, he was literally the biggest name in off-road. You know, he had a full-blown, you know, trophy truck program. He developed a second truck that, like he had said just a few minutes ago, wasn't cookie-cutter. I mean, this thing, originally, I think they had hired Olens from Europe to develop the shocks. I mean, it was total way outside the box thinking. I've heard of development dollars that he spent on this truck. You know, they're all rumors, so I'm not gonna say any numbers on air, but let's just say he has a substantial investment in this truck, you know. So it's a wildly different truck. But not only that, you know, he had a full-blown short course program for a couple of years too, and you know, that was back when the series was called Core, before you know, before Torque and Lucas Oil kind of ran with the ball. But you know, he's definitely tough to beat when he's in the desert. Very, very fast. You know, he's a veteran. He's been around for about 10 years now, and got a lot of experience on a bike before that. So should be good to see the Pfluger Racing outfit back here in the desert. But anyways, little bit of trivia, and this is going to be another one of those shoot from the hip trivia, because I don't have a trivia question, and as of this point, I don't even have one written down on paper in front of me. So I'll tell you the prize we're giving away, and then I guess I will come up with something off of the top of my head that should be interesting. But anyways, today, I think this may be the last day we're doing this. We're giving away a set of Ringers gloves and a Ringers hat again, and I know a lot of you listening in, I've been so busy with getting the number 15 ready for Vegas to Reno, I haven't had a chance to get packages mailed out. Some of you won a month ago, and I apologize. I will make it worth your while when I do mail out the packages. I'll add a little something extra in there. And But we're giving away another set of Ringers gloves and a FlexFit hat. The model we're giving away is the Authentic. It's our standard work glove. It's got a Velcro closure that keeps it snug on your hand. They're high-quality, task-specific gloves built to withstand the toughest conditions. You can find out more on their full line of gloves at ringersgloves.com. And for the trivia question, let me think here. Let me think of what pops into my head here. Let's go with you know what? Let's I just had a little Twitter battle here before we went on air with obviously our listener Gwen and Jarrett Johnson and Kelly from Mastercraft and Impact and myself. We kind of had a little bit of battle going on, joking about Vegas Torino. So let's make this a Jimmy Johnson themed trivia question. I'm totally shooting from the hip here. Name the team that he raced for when he off-road raced in the desert and short course. Name the team name. Obviously Chevy, Thunder, yada yada. But name the team name that Jimmy Johnson raced for in the desert. That's totally shooting from the hip here, guys. So let me cut to a quick break, and hopefully we'll have the answer when we come back. So log into the chat board. The winner will get a Ringers gift package, and if you've already got one or got one coming, because we've been giving them away for a while, we'll find something else to ship out to you. So here's a quick break.
KC Highlights is the worldwide leader in off-road and auxiliary lighting since 1970. KC Highlights is all about quality. Their lights are built tough to last. Inside and out, KC has never accepted anything less than the highest quality materials and workmanship for their products. This drive for perfection has produced some of the most revolutionary products in the industry today, such as the full carbon fiber HID KC Pod, a first of its kind. For more information on the full line of KC Highlights products, like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, and visit them on the web at www.kchighlights.com. Are you going racing or doing a weekend project and don't have the equipment you need? Ahern Rentals has you covered. Everything from generators, lighting towers, and scissor lifts to forklifts and dump trucks are at your disposal. They deliver nationwide with fast service and competitive pricing. Check out their full line at www.ahern.com and give them a call at 909-289-8077.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
All right. Thanks for tuning in with us over the break. Let's check real quick. We don't have an answer from the chat board yet. We don't. So you guys need to do a little studying. But We've got Brandon Arthur hanging out in the wings, Off-Road's latest young gun. Let's see if we can pick Brandon up here. You on air with us here, Brandon?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good, you?
Doing pretty good. Well, how's everything been on your end? You guys have had a busy year this year so far running the HDRA series, haven't you?
Yeah, we've had a pretty busy year. It's been really fun, though.
Awesome. So you guys are getting ready for a race here in a couple weeks, right? That it's an HDRA night race, I believe, in Prim,
yeah,
isn't it?
The Dust Till Dawn at Prim. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, how's... Let's go back to the beginning. Obviously, you know, we've got a lot of questions to ask you and a lot of stuff that's been generated on social media for you, you know, but how did you get involved in off-road racing? I mean, and what people don't realize, I mean, you're only 16 years old, correct? I mean, what brought you to off-road desert racing?
Well, I started out in short purse racing with trophy carts, and My dad raced off-road racing before we started doing that, and we kind of just got overwhelmed with all the trophy cart stuff, so we decided that we would go off-road racing, and I just got hooked on it ever since.
Awesome. So, I mean, obviously you've got this truck and you actually, you know, you're a fabricator, right? This isn't something you just showed up and started driving. You actually helped build this truck, correct?
Yeah, me, my dad, and my uncle Donnie, who rides with me, we all built it together.
Awesome. And, you know, I mean, just kind of tell us a little bit, you know what I mean, about the year this year. And, you know, what have you learned from this truck? And I believe you guys have another truck for next year, right? You're going trophy truck racing?
Yeah, we're working on the trophy truck right now. this year started off pretty good. We started racing a truck at HDRA. We did the first Prim race, and we got first on Saturday and Sunday. We swept both days, and we went to the Imperial 250 in Placer City, and we got second that race. And then we just got back from Reno, and we got second in that race too. That one was a long one, but it was really fun, and the track was really scenic. It actually had some really cool views.
Awesome. So, I mean, you know, as far as next year goes, you know, how close is the new trophy truck close to being done? I mean, are you going to start out next year in that? I mean, you're going to run the trophy truck class, or you think you're going to continue to run maybe a sportsman to get your feet wet in it? Or, I mean, what are we looking at for next season?
The trophy truck's really close. We're going to go testing this weekend with it, give it a shakedown, and come back home, prep it, and then we're going to go out with Fox and get it dialed in. And we're going to start the last HDRA race in Laughlin. We're going to race it, and so I'm going to race both trucks. My dad's going to race it on Saturday, and then I'm going to get in it on Sunday.
Well, that should be pretty cool. So for next season, are you looking at a full HDRA schedule again, or are you maybe going to shake it up with a little Best in the Desert or score, or are we going to concentrate on HDRA?
I think we're going to do some – I think we might mix it up and do some Best in the Desert, but right now we're still talking about it and figuring out what we're going to do. I think we're planning on doing HDRA unless we can get something going and do Best in the Desert.
Awesome. Now let's talk a little bit about short course, because you said your roots were in trophy cart, and you know, and you did that before you went to the desert. I mean, the first question regarding short course you think maybe in the future you'd like to go back and maybe do that or do both desert and short course? Is it something you've got a desire to go back and do?
Yeah, it's definitely something I have a desire to go back to do. There's definitely nothing like short course racing, the bumping and banging and the close together and the battling and all that. That's definitely just an action-packed, fun thing to do. And, yeah, it's a blast.
Well, and, you know, you say you had your roots in a trophy cart, and, you know, we've had this discussion on air the past month or two, and it's just amazing drivers like yourself at 16 years old and – I mean, you know, and you look at Torque, there's Mitchell DeYoung, and, you know, there's just a bunch of younger kids, you know, your age that had their roots in trophy kart. I mean, you know, do you think without the invention of a trophy kart, you know, back 5-6 years ago, you know, do you think you'd be where you're at? I mean, how do you view trophy kart? I mean, is it a great stepping stone? I mean, you know, what kind of skills have you developed, you know, driving one of those?
Yeah, trophy kart was definitely one of the great things that's came out for a while, getting the kids their feet wet in off-road racing and racing, period. It's definitely a great, like, learning step to getting into the bigger trucks and even off-road racing and everything. They helped me a lot with just learning, like, how to be smooth and keeping your momentum up and just battling and working with people and, like, learning how to pass, and it's just everything helps.
Yeah, awesome. Well, you know, anything else you want to kind of bring us into the loop on, you know, that you've got going on? Obviously, you know, trophy truck, that's a huge deal. I mean, tell us a little bit about the truck. I mean, is it, you know, the standard type trophy truck, or is there, you know, anything kind of special and different on it than normal? Or, you know, are you guys kind of going with a tried and true format that's going to get you, you know, to the finish line every race?
We've definitely pretty got a brand new truck. We just finished it. It's pretty much plain and normal. I mean, other than it's bright yellow, like all of our stuff. And we're going for finishes. We want to win, but we want to get going with it, get our feet wet, and definitely go for the wins. It's going to take some time.
Yeah, for sure. Now tell us a little bit about the truck you're running now. You know, it's kind of almost become, you know, something. Obviously, you've got the bright yellow, which is easily recognizable. But the body style truck you guys chose to build is something different than you see nowadays. I love it, you know, just being the older body style truck. But what made you guys choose to build that type of a truck?
We started off racing a Ford Courier. My uncle used to own it, and he sold it, and we picked it back up and raced that for a little bit, and then ever since, I kind of got hooked on the older body style, and my grandpa had this truck laying around in his backyard, and I asked him if we could use it to build a racetrack out of it, and he said, sure, no problem. So we took it, we got it back, we stripped it down, left the cab, and we just built it from there, and ever since, it's just hooked on the older body style.
Awesome. Well, you know, I know you've got all kinds of stuff really active. You know, you've got Bink Designs helping you out, and you know, you really put a lot of stuff out there on the internet about you and videos, and you know, and got things going for you. But anywhere else that we can follow you and get some, you know, more information, the people that are tuning in and want to find out more about what you've got going on?
I have a racing website, www.brennanarthurracing.com, and it's got all of our stuff on there. It shows what we're doing, and it's got all our press releases and everything.
Awesome. Well, you got anything else you want to leave us with before we let you go?
I think that's it. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. I appreciate you coming on air. Take it easy, and good luck in a couple of weeks at the next HGRA race.
Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.
You too.
All right. That was Brandon Arthur, the young gun of off-road, coming up through the ranks. And, you know, it's just amazing. You know, talks about getting a start in trophy kart, and it really is amazing that, you know, that what you know, I guess what Nestor created there with the whole trophy cart, where it's gone. I mean, it's grooming these guys, you know, like we talked with Brandon and, you know, and Mitchell DeYoung, who's been dominant in Torque this year. It's just amazing what it's allowed these kids to do at such a young age, and, you know, and the skills that they're developing that, you know, when I was that age, there was nothing like that. You know, the most racing available to me would be local racing on a quad or maybe a dirt track, you know, in an old Pinto or something like that. But nothing like a trophy cart that can help groom you specifically for off-road racing. And it's really tremendous what he's created there. But thanks to Brandon for coming on air, and you know, good luck to him in a couple of weeks at the HDRA race. We've got our Speed Energy report up next, the segment that we do off and on when we've got Speed Energy news. Got a lot of Speed Energy news this week. Actually, not a whole lot, but what's there is very substantial. Number one, Robbie Gordon announced a couple of days ago over the weekend he will be racing his Pro 2 at the Torque race at Crandon over Labor Day weekend. He's got backing for his Pro 2 from, I believe, Menards and Speed Energy and Toyo Tires. He will be racing Pro 2 the entire weekend, which is exciting because anytime Robbie's in the field, it it brings a lot to you know, he carries his fans with him and brings a lot of action and suspense to the races, let's put it that way. Also at Crandon, we're going to see the debut of Stadium Super Trucks. That's right. From what I understand, it's going to be a six-truck race. It's going to be an exhibition race, which means nothing. These guys are going to be going out for blood, trust me. But it's going to be a six-person exhibition race, and what they're trying for, they're going to call it the Champions Cup. And what it is all six racers in the Stadium Super Trucks are going to be past champions. So, you know, I could guess at what drivers we're going to see in there. But, you know, it should be pretty easy for you to guess. Go down the line of current Torque racers in Pro 2 and Pro 4 and look at who all the past champions are. And you're going to get a good idea who you're going to see in the six-man field of Stadium Super Trucks. I think it should be exciting. And as Robbie predicted a few months back when he was on the show, he thinks when they get these trucks at Crandon with the power to weight, they're going to be able to throw down Pro 4 times. So it should be really exciting to watch. And obviously, you know, it's going to be a taste of what's to come next year in the Stadium Super Truck Series. So very excited to check that out and see what happens. We're going to cut to one more quick break, and then we've got all kinds of news. We've got Torque Bark River. We've got AMA Motocross from Massachusetts, Vegas Torino preview, the score schedule, and we're doing a new segment where you can ask me questions. So if you've got any questions, submit them on the chat board, and I'll take them. Anything goes within reason. So, you know, try and kind of put me in my place if you can, I guess. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll take one more quick break, and we'll be back.
Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
It's Cage Rage on the River 2. MMA cage fighting action returns to Blue Water Resort and Casino Saturday, July 7th at 7 p.m. Closed fit, full contact, locked inside a cage of steel. Tickets for this indoor event start at just $25. Ringside, just $75. Ask about VIP table. Cage Rage on the River 2. Saturday, July 7th. Only at Blue Water Resort and Casino, Parker, Arizona. A Ringside Promotions presentation.
All right, thanks for staying tuned. All right, the big news, we had Torque over the weekend, and one of our questions for the fans' choice that is our new segment was my thoughts on the Torque races. So instead of doing that in the new segment, I'm going to do that in my Torque coverage. But the big news is we'll give you a rundown of the results first, which was just absolutely an awesome race, and then I'll give you my thoughts on how I thought the weekend was. But we started off round nine. Pro 4, winner of Pro 4 was Ricky Johnson, Mark Jenkins second, Scott Douglas in third, and Johnny Green's got the Oakley Bomb Award. Pro 2 went to Bryce Menzies, who got the Bomb Award, Jeff Kincaid in second, and Rob Mack in third. He got a podium there, but not his elusive win number 200. Pro Light went to Luke Johnson, second went to Brad Lovell, and Sean Morrison third. And I do want to make note that was Luke Johnson's first ever Pro Light win. So congratulations goes out to Luke Johnson on getting his first win. That's awesome. And our Super Buggy results went to Mitchell DeYoung. Surprise, surprise. He's been so dominant this year in that class, and definitely looking forward to seeing him step it up into one of the truck classes next year and seeing what he can do there. Round 10, Pro 4 went to Johnny Greaves, who got the bomb award, Mike Jenkins in second, and Ricky Johnson in third. Pro 2 winner was CJ Greaves. Second was Rob McCachran with the bomb award, and third was Scott Taylor. Now, I'm going to skip forward to some other results, but we're going to come back to Pro 2, so don't think I'm passing over that race. Pro Light, Andrew Cadell with the win, Brad Lovell in second, CJ Greaves in third, and our Super Buggy win went to Andy Zipperary. That's right, not Mitchell DeYoung this go-around. Mitchell way back in the field. Standings, after round 10 is shaping up with Ricky Johnson in first, Scott Douglas second, Adrian the Wild Man Chenny in third in Pro 4. Pro 2 goes out to Rob Mack, who is leading with Chad Horde in second, Bryce Menzies in third. Pro Light, Andrew Cadell, Brad Lovell, and CJ Greaves. And your Super Buggy points leader, surprise, surprise, Mitchell DeYoung. Now let's go back to my thoughts from the chat board as well as that Pro 2 race. For any of you not tuning in, let's just say you missed probably one of the best short course races I have seen in a long time. And part of the reason why I say that is it was good racing, but it was clean racing. And let's just put it this way. Rob Mack, he came through the field just absolutely. I mean, he got the bomb award, and there's no doubt about it. He was the fastest guy on the track, another half a lap, and I honestly think that he would have won the Pro 2 race and got win number 200. But what made that race so exciting was, I mean, you have Scott Taylor, Rob Mack, CJ Greaves, which is just amazing at a young age that CJ is doing what he's doing. I mean, obviously he's got one of the best short course drivers ever. And his dad, Johnny Greaves, is a coach and a mentor, but it's just amazing at 16 what he is doing. But what made it special was, Rob, you know, this win number 200 is kind of, I know Rob, I've talked to him, and he's just ready to get this monkey off his back. He doesn't like talking about it, and he just wants it done and over with. No PR, and that's just Rob, but, you know, it's a great storyline, and people are gonna hype it up as much as they can. But, you know, that last lap with CJ Greaves and Rob battling CJ, Rob was obviously the faster guy. He just couldn't get his passes to stick with the line he was taking. Rob could have easily taken the win. You know, if Rob wasn't Rob, he could have put a little fender into CJ, spun him out, took the win, punted him off the side, just brushed him enough to get by. But that's not Rob's style. Rob drove clean. And took the second place, and you know, and I take my hat off to Rob. You know what? That was. There's a lot of guys in short course that wouldn't have handled things the way Rob did. They would have punted CJ off the track and took the win. And you know, my hat's off for Rob. When he gets win number 200, there's going to be no doubt that it was a clean victory. And Rob knows that. And my hat's off to him for not doing what probably two-thirds of the short course field would have, and that's knock CJ Greaves out of the way. Rob raced him clean, CJ won, and Rob took second. Rob obviously was a faster truck, but he raced clean, and my hat's off to him. That was it was just an awesome race. And my thoughts on the race, you know, and there's always this huge debate, Lucas Oil versus Torque. I love both series. I think both of them have a place. The place where I see Torque pulling ahead in, you know, Lucas Oil has more TV coverage, let's face it. I mean, you know, they're on Speed Channel all the time, reruns of their races and stuff like that. And it's great. They have a tremendous television package. What Torque does with their live TV, running a few live events a year, I think is awesome because off-road racing has never really had that. So I think that it's awesome, like at Chicago, like at Charlotte, that Torque can put a live race on TV. But where I see Torque maybe having an edge on Lucas Oil. And don't get me wrong, I love both series. I know people that run both series. I know people in the front offices of both series. So this is strictly my opinion, and this is going to what you guys asked on the chat board. The place I see Torque pulling ahead is in not necessarily live coverage on TV, which is tremendous. I love it when Torque does it. But it's their live internet coverage. Lucas has made it a point that they won't do live internet coverage because they don't want it to interfere with their TV. But those of you that were tuning in over the weekend and tuning in and watching that race with Rob McCachran in Pro 2 going for win number 200, if they would, you know, to me, I mean, I was caught up in the drama. I was on the edge of my seat. I'm yelling at the TV, and that's right. You know, in this day and age, something on the internet can be streamed to your television. A $99 Apple TV box, and I had, you know, streaming from my cell phone to my television set. So, you know, you can have live off-road racing on TV. It's just streamed through the web. But anyways, you know, I was on the edge of my seat pretty much yelling at my TV. I've got a daughter and wife wondering what the heck I'm doing. You know what I mean? And it was an absolute race. I'm biting my nails, and I'm texting with other people in the industry that are doing the same thing as this race is going on. And it was awesome. You know, I think everybody was rooting for Rob to beat CJ. Hats off to CJ for pulling it out and being able to hold off a veteran like Rob. But that race, if it wasn't live online and they took that and let's say aired it 3 weeks down the road or even a week, it lost its drama. There was drama involved in that. Anybody that says there's not storylines and drama in off-road racing didn't watch that race Sunday. It was absolutely amazing, you know, an amazing race. And if that would have aired a week, 2 weeks from now, there would have been none of that. I would have watched it on TV, but I guarantee you I wouldn't have been on the edge of my seat. One, I would have already known who won the race. And two, it just wouldn't have the same effect. And that's where I see a place for both TV coverage and live online streaming. And my hat's off to Torque for one, for doing it, and two, doing it right and doing an amazing job with it. I know that Lucas is looking at that and looking at a business model to maybe integrate the live streaming into their television package that they have. And I hope that they do, because the live streaming online, when you don't know the winner, it brings the drama to the series. It honestly does. And, you know, and that's part of the thing with why GRC, people talk about Global Rallycross and how the racing isn't good, but the racing's live on TV. We don't know the winner before it airs, you know, and it does put you on the edge of your seat only because you want to see who won. You can't go to Twitter or Facebook or wherever and find out the winner, you know, and I think that's what made that race so amazing yesterday. And anybody that didn't watch that Pro 2 race, was you missed out, because it was probably one of the best short course races I have seen in, I don't know, in years. It was absolutely a battle, and you know, and Rob didn't get his 200th win, but the drama that built with that race was just amazing. And you know, and let's face it, I mean, I'm running Vegas Sereno next week. It's going to be an awesome race. Rob's running that race, and you know, and let's put it this way: if Rob would have won live on the internet, everybody would have known he got his 200th victory. We would have been able to share it with him. If Rob gets his 200th victory next week at Vegas Torino, you know, it's going to be a footnote on the Race Desert Forum, or, you know what I mean? There might be a thread on it. And I'm not talking bad about any websites. I mean, you know, that's great that it's on there, but it's not going to bring the drama to it that it would by streaming live. You know, you're going to see an IRC dot cross the finish line at Vegas Torino and go, oh, wow, Rob won victory number 200, you know, and people are going to chime in and say, congrats, Rob. And that's great, because Rob deserves it when, you know, if and when it does happen. But it's not going to be the same, you know. So I guess part of me, you know, well, one, I'm racing at Vegas Torino, and I want to I want to beat Rob because we're racing in the same class. But two, as a fan of off-road, I'm kind of hoping that it doesn't happen at Vegas Torino, only because I want to be able to see the drama. So I don't know. I think you tell me, chat board. Did I answer your questions? My thought on the Torque race, good enough? Anyways, it was a great event. Hats off to Torque for putting on an awesome one. And anything at Bark River or Crin, and those races are iconic venues for short course. And, you know, they're just historic venue's been around forever, and I love watching the racing there because, you know, you can take something to something like Chicago or Charlotte, which are great because you pack it into to a NASCAR-type venue, but nothing is the same as a Crandon or Bark River. Just the open, the open high-speed, you know, wide-open nature of those. It's just, you know, it's awesome. You know, it's kind of like the Brickyard or the Indy 500. You know, it's kind of like running, you know, an IndyCar race at the Indy 500 or running one at say Long Beach. You know, they're both awesome. It's just a different type of racing. So that's my thoughts on Torque. I've ranted long enough. I guess we'll fast forward on to the next segment, but those are my thoughts. Anyways, AMA Motocross from Southwick, Massachusetts. AMA Motocross coming back from their summer break, headed to Southwick, and pretty much Ryan Dungey has been dominating, absolutely dominating motocross this year, the outdoors, with the lack of Villopoto running. And Dungey picked up another win. Alessi took second, Tickle third, Millsaps fourth, and Rat Ray took home a fifth place finish in AMA Motocross. Your 250 lights, the winner was Baggett, Tomac in second, Rocks in third, Mushkin fourth, and Barsha in fifth. Your points after round nine are shaping up as Dungey leading by a huge margin, 430 points. Alessi in second, 345. Weimer in third, 290. Short with 273, and Tickle with 253 points. Dungey pretty much got the 450s wrapped up. You know, it's like I've said before, he could phone it in from Disney World for the rest of the year, and it wouldn't really matter. Your 250 lights point standings got a little bit better of a battle in the 250 lights like we normally do. Baggett leading with 400 points. Barsha not far back with 376. Tomac very close to Barsha with 368. And Rocks in with 345. And then Mushkin in fifth with 294 points. So that's round nine. You know, the motocross series slowly wrapping up for this year. Got a couple of big events still yet to go. Obviously, a few outdoor events. And then we've got motocross, the Motocross of Nations race. And then we've got the big Monster Million from Las Vegas, the Supercross race in October. But the big news was is Team USA was announced over the weekend for the 2012 Motocross of Nations. What the Motocross of Nations is basically the Olympics of motocross racing. Every country, well, not every country, but the ones that participate put together a group of three riders, and they go and do battle to see which nation is on top. This year, the race is in Belgium, September 30th and 31st. Well, the United States team to tackle the Motocross of Nations, Ryan Dungey, which is an obvious choice, Blake Baggett and Justin Barsha, definitely a good team that they threw together, and we'll have full coverage of that and see how it goes down. Also, AMA Motocross from Southwick, Massachusetts, we had women's motocross in action. The overall results, winner Ashley Feilich taking home wins in both heats, Jessica Patterson, seconds in both heats, and you had Sarah Patterson, Tara Geiger and Mariana Balbi in fifth. So that was your overall results. Your point standings shaping up with Jessica Patterson, 280, Ashley Feilich, 275, and Tara Geiger, 270. Ashley Feilich just being dominant this year. Every time she's on a bike, she's winning. I mean, it's Ryan Villopoto-esque dominance that she's doing. Absolutely amazing what Ashley's pulling out this year. The reason why she's behind in the points, obviously she missed a few races earlier in the year with injury, but Ashley just absolutely dominant. And Ashley this year, this race actually had Travis Pastrana and his wife Lindsay in the pits with her as support. I don't know if Pastrana was spotting or what, but he was in Ashley Feilich's pits all weekend, his Red Bull buddy Ashley and supporting her. So it's kind of cool to see Travis out there at a women's motocross race showing her his support. So that kind of wraps up your motocross update. And Looking forward to seeing Team USA going doing battle in Belgium against all the other unions or countries. Should be interesting. Vegas Torino, our Vegas Torino preview, shaping up to be an absolute awesome event. Awesome event for Vegas Torino. We've got 309 entries as of today. That's 24 trick trucks, 31 class 1500s, also known as class 1, 24 class 10s, 18 class 7200s, and 23 UTVs. That's 309 total entries. Wednesday, we kick off with qualifying from Las Vegas. Thursday, we've got contingency in Las Vegas, and then Friday, we have the event. It runs all day Friday with awards on Saturday. I know that IRC will have their tracking up. In addition to IRC, you know, I know Race Desert's going to have full coverage, as they always do. And I, on my Facebook and Twitter account, I will have somebody live tweeting and posting on Facebook my status throughout the day. So you'll definitely be able to follow me on Twitter and there. Somebody will have my password and info and be doing updates all day long on what I've got going. So that's kind of your Vegas Torino update. Some other big news this week, SCORE announced their 2013 schedule. And, you know, not a big surprise, after Laughlin this year that SCORE announced a three-race schedule for this season, for 2013, the San Felipe 250, the Baja 500, and the Baja 1000. They're going to have a triple crown of Baja, and that's going to be the SCORE schedule. As far as I'm concerned, there's lots of stuff. SCORE's going away, this and that. SCORE is not going away. I'm a huge supporter of Best in the Desert and what Casey has to do. I'm also a big supporter of Sawfish. Without Sawfish, there would be no off-road racing. And I'm not talking desert racing. I'm talking short course as well. He is absolutely one of the founding fathers, him and Mickey Thompson, of all off-road racing. Obviously, Mickey Thompson was one of the original founders, but Sal has run with the ball, and without Sal Fish, there would be no short course. There would be no desert racing. That's just the way it is, and that's the truth. And what Sal does in Mexico, no one else can do. He's going to focus on three events for next year, the three Mexico races, and, you know, they're going to be bigger and better than ever, is my guess. You know, he's basically leaving the United States stuff to Casey folks, because Casey does a phenomenal job in here, you know, here in the States, and Casey doesn't mess with Mexico because nobody can equal Sal down there. So I think it should be great, and I think you're going to see a lot of teams maybe running an eight race schedule next year with the five best in the desert, or six, I guess, depending on what the schedule looks like for best in the desert next year, and the three SCORE races. So. That's the SCORE schedule for next year, and mark my word, SCORE is not going away. If anything, it's probably going to strengthen the SCORE brand only, you know, by running the three, because Laughlin this year wasn't very well attended, both from a racer standpoint and from a spectator standpoint and a vendor standpoint. I was there, I know firsthand, and a race like that isn't good for our sport either when it's not well attended. So honestly, I'm kind of taking my hat off to Sal Fish for what he's trying to do. And I agree with him, and, let's all pull for SCORE going forward, and I hope that they can have, three absolutely amazing events down in Mexico next year. A few other notes before we get into, our new segment that we've got going, Save the Hammers. Check it out on Facebook, punch in Save the Hammers. What is happening is the whole Johnson Valley off-road area where King of the Hammers is run, there's all kinds of events run there. There's a small problem in that that land is used by off-roaders, but the military also uses it for a small portion of the year to do testing. They're trying to give the land there to the military, which would basically eliminate all off-road racing and events from the area. The military only uses the area there in Johnson Valley for 2 months of the year. So what Save the Hammers is basically trying to do is find a happy medium where the military can use it for their 2 months a year for testing, and the off-road racers, off-road people can use it for the remaining 10 months of the year. All the info is on Facebook at Save the Hammers. Definitely check it out. It's got info on who to contact to help save the area and the events, all kinds of cool information. It's on Facebook. It's on Front Page Race Desert. Definitely check it out. Send off an email. Fill out a contact form. Do what you can, because it would be detrimental to our sport to see the Johnson Valley area go away. Some other quick news. European Rallycross in Netherlands. We're going to call him Timor T because, honestly, I can't pronounce his last name. He took his third consecutive win over the weekend at European Rallycross in the Netherlands. Tanner Faust, not a very good result. But Tanner is in second in the points with a few rounds to go in the European Rallycross, the lone American going across the pond and running over there. He's got a chance at the points championship over there. Basically on paper. I don't know if you know, in real life he does, but mathematically he's got a chance at the championship. But he basically is conceding the championship to Timor only because he's got a GRC conflict in Vegas. So Tanner Faust is probably going to end up second in the points at European Rallycross in the European Rallycross Series, only because he's not going to be able to run all of the events. And he missed some earlier this year as well. So it's pretty amazing that he's that close to a points title by not actually racing a few events. Also some news, Global Rallycross and the FIA are kind of in a spat. Obviously, there's a lot of European racers that are FIA-licensed running. FIA licensed that are running the Global Rallycross Series this year, and GRC is expanding to run in Europe next year and a few other places around the globe. FIA is wanting the GRC to basically concede and let the FIA sanction their events. Well, the GRC, being like all of us Americans, don't like the Europeans bossing us around. So anyways, they're in a small spat right now, the GRC and FIA. You can find out all the info online. I'm not going to get into it, but it's an interesting read, and it's kind of interesting to see these two butt heads, so to speak. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, especially with Global Rallycross going overseas and running in Europe next year. We'll see what happens. I don't want to make any predictions because, really, honestly, on this one, I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. Also, Formula Drift, this year's series, I told you I would make the announcement when their TV package kicks out. September 2nd, they're going to have a season preview, and then for about a month and a half to 2 months, they're going to have an entire slate of programming. But September 2nd, it kicks off on NBC Sports, so definitely check it out. Set your DVRs for Formula Drift. And JimKahana.com, the Mad Media-owned website, JimKahana.com, they've been following Formula Drift all season long to all the events. They've got some awesome YouTube videos and recap footage of Formula Drift. So definitely check that out. It's if any of you haven't watched any drifting yet, you're missing out. It's different. It's unique. I'm not saying I like it better than what we do in the dirt, but it is definitely something that I'm interested in, and I like watching, and that's why we cover it on the show, because we cover all action motorsports. Now let's kind of go over to our chat board, and I know we haven't even announced the winner yet of our trivia, of our Jimmy Johnson trivia question that I shot from the hip on. So let's check this out here. Let's see what we've got for winners. Let's see here. I gave some hints. Tom McCafferty, Herzog Motorsports. There's actually, after I said it, and this is what happens when you shoot from the hip like I did, there's multiple answers. Obviously, he did run for Herzog, and Herzog actually fielded some of his first stock cars. Nelson & Nelson is a correct answer. And Charlie Bravo got that, and Gwen, she's right too, with the General Motors and Herb Fischel. So I guess we've got three winners, and you know, when I shoot from the hip like that, we do. So I know Charlie Bravo. I've got his info, and we're working on a heck of a package to send to Charlie over there in England. Gwen, shoot me your. I know we've got your address on file somewhere. Shoot it again to the forum, and we'll get you out some Speed Energy stuff this go around. And our other winner, I'm just. Tom, I know you've won in the past. We don't have your info currently on file, I'm hearing. So shoot us another thing. And everybody else that's won over the past month that I haven't shipped out, I'm sorry. You're getting stuff mailed to you after Vegas Torino. I've been busy getting the truck and things ready. We'll have all kinds of packages mailed out the Monday after this one. So next Monday we'll mail out all the packages to all of our winners. I think we've got about five or six packages set to go out. So bear with me. I apologize, but that's just the way it is. All right, so let's get to some of these questions. I answered our first one. Regarding my thoughts on the torque races, who do I think will win Vegas Torino? Okay, that's definitely putting me on the spot. Okay, I'll take myself out of the equation because you know, obviously I'm you know, I gotta throw my money at myself for winning Vegas Torino. But let's say that I'm not racing Vegas Torino, and we're gonna separate me from the entire equation. Honestly, I think it comes down to two people. I think obviously in class 1500, Robbie Gordon's going to be tough. You know, he's been pretty dominant, pretty much dominant all year in the Truggy. My money is on Robbie in class one. I think in trophy truck, to be honest with you, I am going to. Can people call in? Yeah, I take calls on air. Yeah, the call in. Oh, we've got somebody calling in. I didn't even see it. Sorry about that. All right, who are we talking to? Thanks for holding on. I didn't see I had a caller. We had somebody calling in, but they had some feedback going on, and I don't know. It was I don't know what was going on, but yes, you can call in. I am the call-in number 619-768-7253. If you call in, don't have your volume on in the background, though. Let's see here. Vegas Torino, obviously, Robbie Gordon, class 1500. My money is on Robbie to win class 1500. I'm going to say if I'm not racing in Trick Truck, my money is on Steve Serapis and Rob McCachran. Rob is going to be tough. He knows the Vegas Torino course well. And Rob's gunning for victory number 200. He wants to get the monkey off his back, and my money would be on McCachran and Serapis in Trick Truck if I'm not racing. As far as the overall goes, you know, we'll have to see as far as qualifying, who qualifies where. Obviously, Robbie and Rob are both going to qualify up front. I think both of them would be tough to beat for the overall. So my money would be on either one of them for the overall. I've got Robbie in class 1500. I've got Rob Mack in class 1400, and that's excluding me if I'm not racing. So there you go. That's my predictions on Vegas Torino. Let's see here. What is Fans Choice? Okay, Fans Choice, you're jumping the gun on me a little bit. This segment we'll call Fans Choice because, you know, it's the questions that you guys call in, and it's not just fans of the show, it's fans of off-road, and we're going to expand that to take questions on Facebook throughout the week and whatnot, and we'll air them live on the show. But also as far as Fans Choice, I've actually been working with a few industry leaders, and we're going to have some exciting news hopefully next Monday regarding Fans Choice. But for sure within the next month. But I've got a few meetings set up for Vegas Torino this next week regarding Fans Choice. We've got some exciting news that's basically going to put the fans in charge of making decisions regarding some stuff in off-road. You know, obviously it's not going to be, you know, world beating. You're going to change the course of short course, but you are going to be in charge of making some decisions that affect some drivers in both off-road, desert, and short course. So that's what Fans Choice is. We're going to work on that, and I think it should be exciting, and it'll be cool that, you know, it's not going to be people like me and Dirt Sports and RaceDesert.com and you know, and Mad Media and, you know, and the people involved in the off-road media sites making the decisions. This is going to be the fans that that hit these websites, that support these magazines, that buy the off-road videos, and that watch Torque, you know, and Lucas Oil on TV. You guys are going to be in charge of making some decisions. I think it should be cool. That's what Fans Choice is. Bear with me because we will have more info in the coming month. Not everything is in place, but that's what Fans Choice is going to be. And definitely check out our Facebook page because we'll have more info as the time comes. Let's see. More questions off the chat board. Let's see here. What off-road magazines does everyone read? Obviously, I read Dusty Times. I always have. I read Dirt Sports. I even read Off-Road Advertiser, if you guys don't know what that is. It's a smaller magazine that's still around. Past that, Dirt Sports, Dusty Times, and Off-Road Advertiser, I support all the magazines that support us. Kind of mainstream racing-type magazines, I read Racer Magazine. It's awesome. They do cover a little bit of off-road, but just a phenomenal publication for covering everything. I read Formula One magazine. And that one I got to pay about $15 a copy for because it's coming over here from England. So I think I need to hook up with Charlie Bravo on that one. All right, let's see here. We got another caller. All right, you're live on air. Who are we talking with?
It's just a phenomenal publication.
I don't know who that was, but I got a feeling who it was. So let's, I don't know, we're not going to take that call again. Other magazines, okay, Dirt Sports, Dusty Times, Off-Road Advertiser. I also read Racer Magazine, Formula One Magazine. I read Racer X, one of the best magazines on newsstands right now. Obviously, it covers motocross. The last issue, it actually covered Ken Block, so I don't know if they're expanding to do some rally coverage or not, but Racer X is definitely a good magazine. And finally, the new Traxxas magazine. If you didn't know, I'm a big fan of that magazine. We had Kelly Snyder on air last week talking about it. The new Traxxas magazine is awesome. Not only does it cover remote control cars, it covers motorsports and all the Traxxas team members. So that's another magazine that I read. Let's fast forward down here. Fans Choice. I think we covered them all. So if you got any other quick questions, Jim loves Traxxas right now. You're right. I do love Traxxas. Good people. They support our sports. They put more – them and Lucas Oil, honestly, have put more money – regardless of what series you favor, Traxxas and Lucas Oil have both poured a ton of money into off-road racing, especially on the short course front. But both of them also sponsor Desert Drivers. So without those two companies dumping money into our sports, I think it would be pretty tough to be where we're at. Let's put it this way: if the past 3 or 4 years Lucas and Traxxas weren't pouring the money into our sports that they are, so I think it's quite amazing what they've done, and I appreciate every dime that they spend in our sports and allowing us to do what we do. Other than that, we've got some upcoming events. Obviously, Vegas Torino is the big one. And like I said, Facebook and Twitter, I'll have somebody live tweeting and Facebooking for me while I'm in the race. HDRA, we've got the night race coming up the end of the month. We've got motocross from Unadilla in New York. We've got World Rally Championship from Germany. Formula Drift under the lights in Las Vegas. And the big one, I'm calling it Short Course Mayhem. Back-to-back weekends of short course racing. We got Lucas Oil in Reno, all-new facility that looks absolutely amazing. And then the next weekend, we're following it up with the biggest short course race of the year in Crandon. And I think you're going to see a lot of Lucas Oil regulars making the trek back to Crandon if they don't demolish their vehicles. So it should be awesome. We'll have the debut of Stadium Super Trucks. We'll have Robbie Gordon racing at Crandon. Should be awesome. I'm pretty mad that I'm not going to be at Crandon this year. I'm really upset about it, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be one of the biggest and best Crandons we've seen in years, and should be awesome. So we will definitely be tuned in online checking that feed out during the weekend of racing. other than that, just want to thanks to all of our supporters, Speed Energy, Blue Water Resort and Casino, UPR.com, RaceDesert.com. They do a lot for us. Mastercraft Safety do a lot for us behind the scenes. Casey Highlights, a great supporter of the show. Ahern Equipment Rentals. Who else do we have? I mean, it's awesome. UPR.com. Intense Tees, a great supporter of our show. You know, they do a lot, provide apparel, and we've got a full line of apparel coming out. They're printing it up with the Speed Energy library on there, and that's part of the reason why I haven't shipped a lot of the boxes out, because those of you that have been waiting, you're going to have some brand new apparel shipped in your boxes, you know, for the show and Speed Energy. So definitely look forward to those. But other than that, thanks to everybody for tuning in. Like I said, we've got the whole Fans Choice, the entire Fans Choice thing that is kicking off. Stay tuned later this month. Lots of breaking news. We've got a couple of cool things in the works that I don't want to talk about yet. Lots of awesome guests lined up that I don't want to break to you. So you're going to have to stay tuned to our website and social media for all that. But thanks to everybody for tuning in. You know, I couldn't do it without you guys. I appreciate everybody that tunes in live on the chat board and everybody that tunes in after the fact, you know, in the archives. Every one of you matters, and I appreciate it. And I do want to give a shout-out. We had Jolene Van Butte on air last week with me, and Nitro Circus is now nationwide in theaters, Nitro Circus 3D. So definitely go and support Travis Pastrana and Jolene and check the movie out. And we'll talk to you all next week. Thanks a lot.